Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and today is April 9th, 2017, and it is Palm Sunday. Here we are, we've finished the season of Lent pretty much, and we have begun Holy Week. Holy Week is the week that begins with Palm Sunday, moves through to Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, the Easter Vigil in some traditions, and then concludes with that glorious celebration of the resurrection on Easter morning. So Palm Sunday is, as I said, the beginning of Holy Week. It's the day when we celebrate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. And it's interesting that we celebrate it because we, of course, know the end of the story. We know that this week ends with Good Friday, but doesn't end with Good Friday. We know that this week leads to Good Friday, but ends with Easter. So knowing that what we know about Good Friday, it does seem a little odd that we celebrate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. But then when we realize that Easter follows Good Friday, it makes perfect sense that we would celebrate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. So it's a week that begins with cries of Hosanna and then moves into shouts of Crucify Him, but then finally concludes with He is risen and the glorious cries of the Alleluias as we celebrate Jesus' resurrection, as we celebrate Jesus' triumph over death, as we celebrate God's promises. But that's getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. So Palm Sunday in many churches is often known as Palm/Passion Sunday. And I understand this because a lot of people can't make a Good Friday service or don't attend a Good Friday service for whatever reason. And so they don't get the Good Friday part of the message. And in my tradition and in many other traditions, we have this, we always say that you cannot have Easter without having Good Friday. So while Good Friday isn't the most pleasant of services, it is a necessary reminder of the things that Jesus went through, of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. So a lot of traditions, a lot of churches do a combined Passion Palm Sunday, Palm/Passion Sunday, wherein they read the Palm Sunday portion, the Gospel for Palm Sunday, as a kind of processional gospel. Many churches have the tradition of starting outside if the weather is good. They have palm leaves or palm fronds, depending on your location, and you start outside and then you process into the church. And the gospel reading assigned for Palm Sunday is read as part of that. That's the story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. At my last congregation, they had a really fun tradition where the day before, or a couple of days before, all the children of the congregation were invited to bring their bikes or their scooters or whatever they had to the church and decorate them for that procession. So they had palms and balloons and crepe paper and whatever they could find to decorate their bikes. And then as part of the procession, the adults just, you know, walked behind them carrying their palm fronds, but the children actually got to lead the procession behind the pastor, behind the acolytes and the crucifer, etc. They got to lead the procession, riding their bikes into church. And then their bikes all went up by the altar for the whole service. So it was really fun. But as I said, this gospel is often read as part of the processional. And then later in the service, during the time when the gospel is generally or normally read, then the Passion reading is read. And like I said, that's for a lot of people who aren't able to attend Good Friday services or who don't attend Good Friday services, so that they still get that Good Friday message, that Good Friday reading in their Holy Week. I understand it. It's not my favorite way of doing things because while I do understand it, while I do feel that people do need to hear the Good Friday message, so I'm okay with it on that level, I still wish that Palm Sunday was able to just have its own day, just to be Palm Sunday without jumping right into Good Friday, because we kind of skip ahead in Holy Week, and it sort of messes up my my senses time wise, because especially as a pastor, but also just as a parishioner, you go from Palm Sunday to the Passion, and then you go maybe to a Wednesday evening in Holy Week service, and then Maundy Thursday, and then back to the Passion. And so for me, it always just was a little confusing. All of this is to say that today we're only going to be talking about Palm Sunday, because I will be doing another podcast on Good Friday, and we'll read the Passion narrative then. So I know that was a long kind of random introduction, but thank you for bearing with me. Hopefully you haven't turned off the podcast shaking your head going, this lady is crazy. So Palm Sunday, that is today. Happy Palm Sunday. And we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll be reading the gospel from Matthew chapter 21 that tells the story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. Jordan and Keith is Entertainment Tonight meets Access Hollywood.
I'm Jordan. Guy laughing, that's Keith.
Yeah, I'm Keith.
An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. As I mentioned before the break, today is Palm Sunday, and so we will be reading the Gospel from Matthew chapter 21. And before I get to that, just another quick aside, maybe kind of random like the beginning portion of this podcast, but if you've been listening to me for any length of time, you know that I am a little bit random, so I'm doing things a little bit out of order this week, and I know I just talked about doing things out of order, but normally, you know, I read the text assigned for the lectionary week in order from the Old Testament to the Psalms to the New Testament and then finally the Gospel. But since today is Palm Sunday and the Gospel is where we find that story of Palm Sunday, I'm going to be starting with the Gospel reading, and then tomorrow I'll do Isaiah, and then I'll go forward from there. So just in case you were curious as to why I was starting in a different place this week. So the gospel assigned for this week for Palm Sunday is Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11, and they are as follows. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." So again, that is the gospel reading assigned for today. It is Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. And this is probably a pretty familiar reading for many of you if you attend church on Palm Sunday on a regular basis. It's the story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, and it's interesting on a lot of levels. As you know, I often ask you if anything new struck you from this hearing. And I don't know that anything necessarily new jumped out at me, but the things that always strike me about this reading are just the way Jesus enters, that people are cheering him, that they've heard of him, that they're excited to see him. They are following him as he's going ahead, as he's going through. They're going ahead of him. They're shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." They are celebrating Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. They're spreading their cloaks on the ground. They're spreading palm branches on the ground. And that is, of course, where we get the phrase Palm Sunday from. And then very quickly, things go bad for Jesus, and he started to look upon with suspicion. And of course, he's been looked upon with suspicion up to this point. We already know that. We've seen that in many of the previous readings that lead up to Jesus going to Jerusalem. You get a little glimpse of that in that last verse, or in the last two verses, excuse me, because verse 10 says, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil. Turmoil is not a good word. Turmoil, you know, indicates chaos, indicates confusion, indicates a lot of things that don't necessarily have positive connotations. And they're asking, who is this? The crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. So it's interesting that they know his name. They know that he is from Nazareth in Galilee. They know these things about him. They know that he is a prophet. But you can see that they don't necessarily understand who Jesus really is. They're not saying this is the Messiah. They are saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So they do know that, you know, they do recognize that he is a prophet. They do recognize that he has some kind of ministry, that he has been sent by the Lord in some way. They do say Hosanna to the Son of David. So they do know a lot of things about him, right? They know that he is a son of David, and that, of course, fulfills a prophecy that the Messiah will come from that line. It's just an interesting, interesting entry into Jerusalem. The crowds are excited, but they're also a little confused, and they start asking almost immediately, who is this? Some of them give answers, but you just get a sense that people are not quite sure what to do with this person. And you can also imagine, we don't see this in this text, you can imagine that when this happened, we don't know how large the crowd was, we don't know how many people actually greeted Jesus, but you can imagine and understand that the leaders in the city would have been a little concerned, maybe a little skeptical, because Jesus is receiving this amazing welcome. It's kind of like celebrities in today's society, where people see them and they just get really excited. But Jesus was preaching a different type of gospel. He was preaching the gospel that God had sent him to give to us, to give us a new way of understanding God and our relationship with God. And that made the leaders uncomfortable. It made the leaders of the church uncomfortable, the Jewish leaders. It made the Roman leaders uncomfortable because they were always fearing an insurrection. You have to remember that the Romans were occupiers. And while they let the Jewish people celebrate and practice their own traditions, they were always worried about an uprising. They were always concerned about their hold on their subjects because they had a huge empire, as you probably know, and something that large is very hard to maintain control over. So when someone comes in, even though Jesus wasn't preaching insurrection, he wasn't preaching rebellion, he had large crowds of followers, large crowds of people who followed him everywhere, who believed what he said, who listened to what he said, and that would be concerning for the leadership of the time, both the secular Roman leadership and the church leadership, who were concerned that many of their faithful parishioners were being led astray. So there's all kinds of things going on in this story. On kind of a lighter note, I always find that first part of the story interesting when Jesus says to his disciples, you know, go into the village and you will find a donkey and a colt and to bring them to Jesus. And so they do. They go and they find them and they say the Lord needs them. And the owner says, okay, no problem. But then they bring back both the colt and the donkey and they spread their cloaks upon both of the animals. And it says, they brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. And I always get this ridiculous image of Jesus sitting somehow, whether side saddle or astride, on both animals at the same time, which seems ridiculously uncomfortable, and which, of course, was not the case. Some readings just say colt, some interpretations just say donkey, but you get Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a not very gallant, shall we say, and not very imposing means of transportation. It's more than just walking into Jerusalem, but he's going in on either a colt or a donkey. And we don't generally think of donkeys as noble steeds per se, like we think of some certain types of horses. And of course, a colt is young, so smaller. Again, not as impressive as the full-grown horse or whatever it is. So Jesus is already showing himself to be a different kind of leader, a different kind of prophet, a different kind of Messiah, because even in the midst of the crowds and the cheering, he is humbling himself. He's not coming in some fancy means of transportation. He's not, you know, he hasn't gotten the best horse from the wealthiest person. He hasn't done any of those things. He hasn't equipped himself in the finest method of transportation of the time. No, he's coming in on a colt or a donkey. He is coming in to cheers and acclamations, but it's an interesting way that he comes in. And then again, it's interesting the way the crowd greets him. And they too, there's a lot of spreading of cloaks here, because they spread the disciples spread their cloaks on the animal that Jesus sits on. And then the crowd spreads their cloaks as well as palm branches on the road in front of him. So they are creating this spectacle in a way. They're creating this means of Jesus to enter into Jerusalem. You can tell that they are excited. You can tell that they know something is going to happen, that they might not understand who Jesus is, but they understand that where he goes, things happen. And they are eager to see that. They're eager to learn more about this man who has come into their midst, whom they have heard about. Maybe they haven't seen before. Maybe some of them have. Obviously, some of them have at least heard of him, whether or not they've seen him perform miracles. So they are truly excited to see what will happen. And we're going to continue talking about this story, but we do have to take our second break now. So stay tuned and we will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, I read the gospel assigned for this week from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11, and we talked a little bit about Jesus' entry into Jerusalem and the things that jumped out of the text at me that make me ask questions. And piggybacking on that, I was reading a commentary this week by David Loos, who is a professor at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. And he is talking about a little bit what I was talking about at the beginning, about Palm Sunday kind of being all of Holy Week squished into one service, where you get the Passion, the Palm Sunday reading, but then you also get the Gospel reading of the Passion. And so you get Palm Sunday, you get Maundy Thursday, you get Good Friday. And he is saying, try not to do all of that on a Sunday. Even if you can only attend worship, this is me speaking now, I say, even if you can only attend worship today on Palm Sunday so that you hear all of these stories, don't just leave it at that. Take some time every day this week to think about what it means that it's Holy Week. If you took on a Lenten tradition, and we're not going to go again to the fact that I failed miserably at mine this week, but this year, but hey, we can all do better. And I am going to do this myself. Every day this week, think about this journey that Jesus is taking that leads us from Palm Sunday, that leads us from his entry into Jerusalem, finally to the crowds turning on him, to the leadership turning on him, to one of his own disciples betraying him. All of those things, it's because up until this point in all of the Gospels, it's been this sort of broad sweeping picture of Jesus's life. We get a lot of details, but it kind of goes, it speeds along, it seems. And then we get to Holy Week, and it's like things slow down, and we start seeing a lot more details. We see Jesus' journey step by step from Palm Sunday through to Easter. And so that's a really good thing. There's a lot of really good material in this week that we can slow down, take the time, and even if you only have a few moments a day, I know our lives are busy, I know your lives are busy, and that you don't always have time. Just take a few minutes each day to think about those the journey that Jesus was on, to think about the steps of that journey. So Palm Sunday, there are a few questions that we can ask about Palm Sunday. We can ask the questions about the crowds. We can ask, what were the crowds seeking? As I mentioned before, they are so excited to see Jesus, right? They are just cheering his entry. They are giving him a grand welcome. But at the same time, they seem a little bit confused as to who he was. So we have to ask ourselves, what were the crowds seeking? Why do they get so excited about his entrance? And then not so many days later, they participate. They are the same crowd who was shouting Hosanna, who is then shouting Crucify Him. So what happens? Why do they turn so fast on Jesus? But what are they expecting here? We have to wonder, had they, and this goes back to the questions that David Loess was asking in his commentary, because I think they're really great questions and I want to share them with you. He asks, had they succumbed, had the crowds succumbed to the notion that violence saves, and therefore were disappointed when Jesus was not a military Messiah turned against, you know, the reigning Romans, the occupying power? And that's a really good question. We wonder if, even though Jesus has never been a military leader up until this point, he's never, as I said, preached rebellion or insurrection. You have to wonder if they were hoping that he would be that Messiah who would free them from the rule of the Romans. Were they wanting him to be that sort of military, violent Messiah? And were they then so very disappointed when their expectations weren't met? And Dr. Loess continues with the question, did they fail to perceive Christ's mission and so were disappointed by his teaching, and then they get caught up in the machinations of state against this threat to imperial might? It's just another way of looking at that first question. He goes on to ask, what motivated those crowds? And then he turns it on us. What motivates us? What motivates you? Why do you seek Jesus? What do you have in your heart, in your minds, when you turned to Jesus? When you turned to God in prayer, when you turned to the promises that Jesus has given us, when you turned to the readings and teachings of Jesus, what are you seeking? Are you seeking the Messiah as he presents himself? Are you seeking a Messiah that will fit into the mold of what you're expecting? Because I think that's what the crowds were doing. They were excited to see Jesus, but they were expecting something vastly different than what they got. So we have to ask ourselves the same question. What do we seek in Jesus? What do we believe that Jesus came to accomplish? What do we believe that Jesus can and will accomplish in our lives? Why do we go to church on Sunday and seek Jesus there, but we don't always seek Jesus in the world outside of church? We tend to just go about our own business and lead our own lives and kind of forget the things that we hear and say on Sunday morning. These are all really good questions, and they can come up from this reading, this Palm Sunday reading from Matthew. There's all kinds of material here that can help us with some of these readings. So that would be my encouragement to you this week. Take some time to look at the readings, to look at Jesus' journey from Palm Sunday to Maundy Thursday to Good Friday to Easter. Look at the things that Jesus does. Look at the crowd's reactions to Jesus. Spend some time, immerse yourself in it. I know it's not always the most pleasant of readings, but just take the time, because these readings are all very familiar to us. We probably think, oh, we've heard it all before. We know it. I know I tend to get that way. I sort of tune out the readings because I've heard it before. I know what's going to happen, etc. But as I keep saying, and as I keep encouraging you, which when I encourage you, let me just say, I'm really encouraging myself because I need these reminders on a regular basis. So I'm encouraging you and myself to really listen to these readings, to pay attention and try to hear them in ways that you haven't before. And as you're listening to them, ask yourself what you're hearing, what you're expecting. Think about where you are in your life, in your heart and your mind, in the moment when you go to hear those readings. All through this week, think, what is going on? Am I stressed? Am I happy? Am I concerned? Am I scared? Am I joyous? What am I bringing myself, my emotions? What am I bringing to these readings? How is my current set of circumstances going to influence and dictate how I hear these readings, and thereby influence and dictate what it is I am seeking in Jesus? Because I think that's really important to remember. Whatever is going on in our lives, that is usually what we bring to our expectations of our relationship with God, our relationship with Jesus, our expectations of a Messiah. So for instance, if your life is really stressful, if things just feel like they're falling apart, then you are looking to Jesus. Often we look to Jesus to be the kind of Savior who will come in and fix things. God, just fix this. I find myself praying this prayer all the time. Please, God, please, God, please, God, just fix this. And we bring that expectation, and that might not be exactly the expectations that Jesus has of his ministry, that Jesus has of his place in our lives. Because Jesus did come to give us a different promise, but Jesus didn't come to overthrow the Romans, and Jesus doesn't come to our lives to just magically fix everything and say, okay, there you go. It would be nice, right, if things could just be that easy, but it doesn't really work like that. So what are you bringing to, what are your emotions, what are your circumstances, what do you bring to your prayer life, to the way you listen to Scripture? And that's what I'm going to try to pay attention to this week as I listen to, as I read through these readings, again, these familiar readings. I love Holy Week. It's exhausting when you're a pastor. I pray for all of my pastor friends who have, you know, numerous services this week. And it's often, you know, anywhere from 4 to 10 or 15 services that a pastor can have during Holy Week. And so I pray for those pastors, but I pray for you too, that you will come to this Holy Week understanding where you are in your heart and your mind, so that you can really hear these texts in a way that maybe you haven't before. And so that is all the time that we have for today. I want to thank you for joining me on this Palm Sunday 2017 as we read through the Palm Sunday Gospel reading, which was from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. I hope you'll join me tomorrow when we will read the Old Testament text assigned for this week, and that is from the book of Isaiah. As always, I want to remind you that you can find all of the Golden State Media Concepts podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can find all of our podcasts there and see if there's anything else that appeals to you. You can download those podcasts pretty much anywhere that you download, that you get your podcasts on your mobile device. But the main ones are iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and then again, all those podcast apps. And I would love to hear from you on social media. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have something that you have always wondered about, whatever it is, I can't guarantee that I'll have an answer for you, but I sure as heck will try. You can follow this podcast, find me, and this podcast on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, Pinterest, all of those things. So check it out. Give me your questions, give me your thoughts, whatever you have. Again, I want to thank you for joining me, and I want you to remember, as always, that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.